You're very well known, and I was very excited this morning because Joshua was sharing about all the baptisms and the people joining the church, and I thought, oh, that's so awesome. It's just really, really great. So I've got this thing here. If I can have my PowerPoint. It sounds like you don't know much about mukti, because you don't even know how to say it. So there we go. So what is mukti? Who thinks it's A, something you don't want to happen to your computer? We've got our computer specialist over here, Mike, helps us with our computers. An abbreviation for the newspaper article, Mother Under Stress Kidnaps 10 Infants. A mission caring for destitute women and children in India. Any hands up for that one? Yeah, you might be right. or a new brand of tea from Dilma. That is just a bit of fun to start with. But if you chose C, you are C for correct. So as I was saying, I was really pleased to be here, and good friends here, Judy and Mike, and without Judy, I don't know how we'd manage, because I know she does the books for Greyfriars, but she also does them for us, and I understand some other charities as well. So Judy is a real treasure for us and her family, and she and Mike, her and Mike's family as well, who support mukti, and Grace has been to mukti and really helped with the dental work over there and whatnot, so long association. So it's really lovely to be here. First of all, I'll show you where mukti is. Oh, if I look over that way, will it do it? Oh, there we go. Right, got my technology going now. Mukti, as you can see, some of you might have been to Mumbai. Mumbai is about a 45-minute plane flight from Pune. And Pune is a large city in India. And then if you drive out from the airport, it takes you about an hour to get to a place called Kidgaon, which is a village. It's probably got about 40,000 people living there now, because Pune, it's like Auckland, it's spreading out and it's soon going to gobble up Kidgaon. And we have about 150 acres there, which was donated many years ago to a lady called Pandita Ramabai. So now I'm just going to show you a very quick 3-minute video which gives you an overview of what we do at mukti. Thanks, Jennifer. We did have it there. There we go. Oh, that's not going to help. All right, maybe we'll come back to that, shall we? I'll just let you get that going there. It was all set up, but do you want to give me a wave when it's ready? All right, okay. That's fine. I'll just talk to you a little bit about why mukti gets into people's hearts. It's a special mission, it really is. And when I started working for mukti, I just started because Sylvia needed some help in the office, and I thought, all right, I'll work for a few hours a week and help. And it really got into my heart and my spirit. And as I have travelled around and talked about mukti a little bit, I realised that it really is a special mission, and we have a lot of people who have supported for many, many years. And one of the reasons I think that is because it's an Indigenous mission. It started by a lady called Pandita Ramabai a long time ago, over 130 years ago, which is very unusual. Pandita Ramabai was born in 1858. She was a woman way ahead of her time. She was born into a Brahmin family. Her father was a Hindu scholar, and he was very unusual because he actually taught his wife and daughter how to read. And he taught her the Sanskrit language, which is a holy language where Indians don't really know it, but the holy people would sit at the temples and things and just read the language and the holy scriptures, and people passing by are blessed by hearing it. They don't know what they're saying, but they're blessed by hearing it, and that was the idea. But she was such a scholarly lady and whatnot that she was honoured by being given the title Pandita. And still today, she's the only woman in India to be honoured in this way, although she's passed away now, of course, but it was very special. Now, Pandita Ramabai became very aware that women weren't honoured and valued in the Hindu religion. So she was a very devout woman, but she became, in her mind, asking questions about why was half the population not valued. And this started to worry her. And she started to campaign for women to be taught in schools, to have girls' education and to train female doctors. And because of her contact with some missionaries in India, she decided to go and study in London. Now, she was lived because of this contact with the missionaries in a convent in London, and these nuns, an Anglican convent, these nuns were helping the unmarried pregnant women. Now, this is in the late 1880s. So she, by this time, was a young widow herself with a baby daughter. And the nuns started to teach her about Jesus, and she started to realise that Jesus cared about women. And in particular, about women who had fallen, women who in India were disenfranchised, had absolutely no future. So when she returned to India, she started a school for child widows. And when I say child widows, I mean children as young as 5, 6, 7. And you go, oh, what? Their husbands had died and they were blamed for this and cursed. And so these girls had no future whatsoever. There's no social welfare to look after them. You could imagine, if you let your minds run, how they would end up. And so in 1889, she began a school starting with 2 students, and it grew. And within a few years, only 10 years, there was a big famine in India, and by that time she had taken in 2,000 women and children. But that was 130 years ago. Surely things have changed. You would think so. We see India on TV these days, don't we? And we look and we hear, if I say that I'm going to India, people say, oh, how lucky. And it looks colourful and vibrant, and let's go to India. But actually, the truth, you don't have to dig very deeply until you start to see the truth. Yes, women in India, the laws there now, they protect women, they have equal rights and whatnot, but what actually happens? What's the real story in practice? Our newspapers in April this year told a very different story. The headlines read, "Marital rape cannot be applied in the Indian context," says country's Minister for Women, who was a woman. She said that factors like India's literacy, poverty, the myriad social customs and values, etc., mean that the concept of marital rape was a foreign concept and cannot be suitably applied to India. Now, it reached our papers. Normally you wouldn't hear things like that, but it reached our papers because Helen Clark was in Delhi at the time. And she responded, and this was reported in the Hindu and then our paper, "An assault on women at home is never something within the family." She said, "Rape is rape. It is a crime. It has to be recognised and dealt with." Now, the original article, and this is what is so shocking, said that 75% of Indian wives are subject to that sort of treatment. This is a very helpful statistic, I think, because it's like a mirror into Indian society. It reveals how women are second-class citizens and just how widespread these attitudes are. In fact, they are at the heart of their culture still today. And I was sitting on the train in November and just observing some of this. They have these wallahs that go up and down in the train selling food, and they sell chai. And I don't know whether you've been on an Indian train, but they go up, chai, chai. And then another one comes down, they're selling toast with cinnamon and stuff on it, different things. And this bloke in the front, I was behind him, so it was very interesting. There was this family, this man, this lady, and the son. And so the guy's buying stuff all for himself and the little boy, and the woman hardly had a thing. And I was sitting there thinking, oh my goodness. It was really, when you're observing, it is actually quite interesting. You think, oh no, it's not like that today, but actually, sorry, it is. So there's women. Oh, you've got that up there. Shall we do that now? Yep, cool. Get some sound.
Empowering and transforming the women and children since 1889, 120 years of as missionaries in different parts of the country. Now that was a dream. Since then, many thousands of people have come on and they have impacted the society. I believe her dream has come true.
I went through so many things and I learned in Ramabai Mission, and that the same thing I'm trying to do, to give gospel and to give them love and share my love to them.
So many people come to our door. They come from the prostitute background and they are pregnant, so they want to leave the baby. They don't have place because society will not accept them. So we will accept them, love them, care for them. And then we search the godly parents, those who trust the Lord. And we see they are capable financially, they are loving and adorable people for child, and those who are having heart for child to serve. We place the child in the adoption in their house. And when child comes and the parent comes, the tears of joy we see and it gives satisfaction. Our child is in a safe hand.
One look at him like him, so
we will give him a world life and this is from God and it will be his film that God has blessed us. I would say for love at first sight, showing with well in love.
He was looking at us with a yearning. He wanted us to take as if we spent that.
My parents also came from orphanage age. When they got married, they too had no kids. So they came to Mukti Mission to have me as their child. Adopted me as their own daughter. The word of God came through in my life. Father, mother and father will forsake you, but I will never forsake you. This was all the time to give.
We used to go in a group to villages, and then all the children used to come there. We used to share about the gospel and tell them how God is loving me, you are not alone here. And there are lots of children there, you know, wanting to have this sort of gospel.
We have a lot of hope meetings in these villages, where we have our evangelists also working. Plus, with this community program, we want to build the community in terms of offering a self-help program for the ladies there.
And we start projects like daycare centers, microloans, self-employment schemes, and if we have a skill of farming, we help them in farming, you know, so that the community is blessed. And they will ask us, why do you do this? And we say, we do it because we love Christ and we love you.
Children from little girls, 4 years, 5 years, sitting on our lap, and then what a joy to see them grow and then stand there with their husbands to be getting engaged. It gives us tremendous joy. My hope is that every child that enters the gates of Mukti may feel that there is a sense of security here, and that they would feel a special sense that Jesus is existing in this place. He is coming here and visiting them and touching their lives, and that one day they will go out like the vision of Mukti, like being salt and light in the outside world, would become a reality.
That would have given you a good overview, I hope. Many women come to Mukti, and I'll just get my pictures back. Here we go. Thank you. Okay. That number 5, please. We'll go to there. Cool, that's it. Excellent, thank you. Many people come to Mukti, women like Rani, who is very typical. She had two daughters, and when her third daughter was another girl, her husband refused to buy anything for the baby. In fact, he beat her, Rani, and hated her for not producing a son, and her mother-in-law was no different. She mistreated and abused Rani as well. But what really shattered her life was when her husband married another woman because he wanted a son, didn't he? So he was a Hindu and he could have more than one wife, and he forced Rani to leave his house. So that's Rani there, sorry. And all sorts come to Mukti. There's the elderly and there are the abandoned babies. 540 residents at the moment and 250 in the boys' and girls' homes where children are given a home and they attend the local schools. But Mukti actually has 2,000 pupils in our schools today. So a lot of them are village children, and now that there's a junior college, Mukti kids can actually complete their education at Mukti. We run daycares outside, as mentioned in the video, particularly in areas where there is a lot of child labour. And children can be safe at a Mukti home and they can be sent to school, and hopefully they won't end up as labourers themselves. Mukti provides... Mukti provides a safe home for 87 women at the moment and 31 girls who are physically or mentally disabled or blind or have a mental illness. And in India, if you have a child with a disability, very often you feel that it's a curse. And even if your family, you know, accepts you with a disability, it might be the community around about who isolates the family because they are cursed. Now, Rituja wasn't abandoned. Her parents loved her. But she was brought to Mukti because a terrible incident happened in her life where she's mentally disabled, she can't speak very well, and she and her sister, her brother were left while the parents go off to work. And on a sad and tragic day last year, her cries for help and her hand signals weren't unheeded. Her brother had fallen into a barrel of water, and Rituja scrambled to help him and then went to get the neighbours, but unfortunately they didn't understand what she was saying and he drowned. And because of that, the parents decided to bring Rituja to Mukti. So that's just an example of how dangerous it is. But Ingrid is doing a wonderful good job up there. She's an Australian and she is the director of the special school. She's teaching life skills like cooking, and recently they have been working in the garden. And it was really special to see all the photographs where they went and they to the nursery to choose some plants recently. They came home and they planted them. And they're also planting a vegetable garden, so they're growing their vegetables and then they're learning how to cook. And they're selling their wares in the little Mukti shop there. They also have chickens. And there's a delightful story written by Ingrid about Seema, who loves the chickens. She gets so excited and involved in collecting the eggs, but previously she wouldn't do anything, to everyone's dismay. Not lately, though. Because of the chickens, it's changed everything from getting ready in the morning, eating her meals, getting to school, being involved in class. So because she's got the chickens and wants to get ready to help with the chickens, her whole life has changed, and she's become somebody who's got initiative and participates in what's happening. Mukti's home to lots of elderly women as well, and this is a lady, I call her a diminutive octogenarian because she's little and she's in her 80s. She has a radiant smile and a very welcoming, "Hello, how are you today? She loves people and she's got a great sense of humour and giggles. She She's been at Mukti since she was 6 months old. And when she was 12, she accepted Jesus. And she has a passion for sharing the message of Christ. For decades, she was known as the Bible woman in the local villages. She was a house mother. She taught adult literacy. And as I said, she was a Bible teacher. And today, she still teaches Sunday school. She conducts morning prayers with the Mukti farm workers on Wednesdays, and she teaches Bible at one of the expansion homes in a nearby village on Thursdays. She's a very busy lady. Remember Rani? Rani, I said she was typical. She found refuge at Mukti. Many come as young mothers or pregnant women, some from the prostitution trade. They've been abandoned or cast away by their husbands and in-laws. Many are widows, unable to make a living for themselves and their children. For whatever reason, they come to Mukti, and they work in the nursery looking after young babies. They work in the kitchen or in the hospital, on the welcome desk, on the front line. Whoops, there we are. Or as house mothers caring for girls in the orphanage. Now, this is the Pretty Sudden. This is one of the original buildings at Mukti, and as you can see, it was pretty, it needed quite a lot of renovation. And you can see the holes in the roof, which you can imagine in the monsoon. And you can see how the building on the top right there, half of the roof has been fixed. That's part of another building. And you can see where the tiles all needed fixing. The cisterns were falling off the walls and the toilets, and the doors were falling off their hinges, and it was in a state of disrepair when we went in November. Anyway, I was looking for a project, and New Zealand agreed to renovate the Pretty Sudden, which is the home to all those ladies that you saw standing outside it just before. So we're currently raising money for this project. It's a $50,000 project, so it's quite substantial. And if you're interested in helping us, we would love to hear. I'm sure Judy, our accountant, would really love to hear from you afterwards, and we'll be up the back. But people are probably most familiar with what happened there. Whoopsie, I've done something now. There we go. Whoops. There we go. Mukti is probably people are most familiar about Mukti because they think of it as an orphanage, particularly for girls like these ones. And poverty is the enemy, really. The girls are either orphans and have lost both parents, or they've lost one. And when you're poor and you're by yourself, you're a solo parent, whether you're male or female, it's very difficult because you must go off to work and your children are at risk. And in India, there's a very big risk that they could disappear, as you can imagine. So solo parents often bring their children to Mukti as well, so that they can have care and protection. Like the mother who whispered, "Take care of my children," as she left her three daughters with Mukti staff. With tears in her eyes, she turned and walked away. Her life had been completely changed that year when her husband fell ill and died a few months later. Now she could no longer look after her daughters. She had brought them to Mukti not because she didn't care, but because she did. Imagine the difference an education would have made for that mother. This is Shanti Valupi. She came to Mukti in 1999 when she was five and her mother had died. Currently, she's studying at university and her aim is to do a master's degree in social work. This is Elka, who's visually impaired due to her albinism. She's just passed her Year 12 exams and she's just going to start university, and she also wants to do social work. Perhaps they will be like Annapurna, who was brought to Mukti as a 10-year-old baby. Her story is in our quarterly magazine, and you can get a copy at the back this month. She's worked for YWAM for 25 years now, And she and her late husband founded a ministry in 1999, which cares for orphans, widows, and destitute women in Pune. So she's giving something back, like some of the other women in the video we just saw. But let's begin as we started with our founder, Pandita Ramabai. Although she became a Christian when she was in England and was baptized, she says, it was quite a few years later before I realized that I didn't have a personal relationship with God. At last I came to the end of myself and unconditionally surrendered myself to the Savior and asked him to be merciful to me and take away my sin. How good, she says, how indescribably good. What good news for me, a woman born in India among Brahmins who hold out no hope for me or the like of me. The Bible declares that Christ did not reserve his great salvation for a particular caste or sex. The Holy Spirit made it clear to me from the Word of God that the salvation which God gives through Christ is present and not something in the future. I believed it, I received it, and I was filled with joy. It's a beautiful testimony. Now, the work of Pandita Ranamabai continues today, of course. And a thrilling development for us recently, which we're praising the Lord for, is that our office is currently fully sponsored. So we are in the very privileged position of being able to send 100% of what is given to us through sponsorship and donations to India. So your money really counts. So if you'd like to be part of our Mukti family, primarily what we're really after is some new young families to sponsor anybody from a granny to a child. We even have some little boys, they're not all girls. Or by supporting the Preeti Sedan project as well. We'd love to talk to you. And we've got lots of information about what we do and some really wonderful stories in our literature. So if you'd like to go on our mailing list and just, you know, hear about what God is doing in India, you're most welcome to. And we have a trading table at the back. And you would have seen on the video some of the girls with their treadle sewing machines. I have the treadle ones not because we're stingy and can't afford electronic ones, but because the power is so bad that it's the best type of machine to use. But there's some neat things at the back there. So come and talk to us and have a look at what we've got for sale. And thank you so much for having me today.